Well, Christmas is over. The gifts have been given and opened. And some places maybe already broken. The cookies have been eaten. The weight has been gained. The decorations are going down. The Christmas music is stopping in some of the places and they're moving on, even Hallmark. And the stores have already moved on to Valentine's Day. This week, Kim and I went into Walmart the day after Christmas. Brave, huh? And we went in there to get some things for Christmas for next year. And were able to get some things on sale. But as you went in the Christmas section, it was a mess. Everything was ransacked and everything was thrown apart. And you could tell it looked like a hurricane had gone through. But the store is quickly moving on. And Christmas has been packed away. For the merchants, their job is done, so they think. They pack it away and go on. For many, the good feelings and the joy that Christmas brings is long gone. It has been packed away with the decorations and put up in the attic till next year. Hopefully to bring it out again at Christmas and maybe fill that feeling, feel joy and good feeling again, perhaps. But for us as believers, it can be Christmas every day. For us, Christ Emmanuel is with us, and he never leaves, right? And he's with us now and always. And for us, the celebration doesn't end. For us, the celebration goes on and continues. Because we know the Christ of Christmas and the reason why he came. This morning, we want to look at verses 21 to 24. We're very familiar with the story of how Jesus was born and put in the manger at Bethlehem, and the shepherds going to see him after the angels appeared in the sky and gave them the news. But yet the events of what happened after that, we don't spend as much time in. And we move on, but yet the scripture recorded these events for a very specific reason. They tell us that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, 8 days later, he was taken to the temple in Jerusalem, where he was presented before the Lord, and where he was circumcised. And Luke records for us 4 specific rituals that Mary and Joseph put Jesus through from a very young age, even from his birth. The circumcision, his naming, his redemption of being redeemed or consecrated to the Lord, and Mary and Joseph's purification. And you say, well, what's so significant about those events? And why take the time this morning to deal with it? Well, God puts it in his word, so it's important. And from it, we can learn some principles in our life. As he was taken to the temple, presented to the Lord, he was met there through the ceremony, but then a man by the name of Simeon, who had been looking for the coming of the redemption of Israel, saw Jesus in the temple and Mary and Joseph, and they knew that the time of fulfillment had come. And they had given some words of prophecy. We're not going to deal with that this morning. We're looking specifically at verses 21 to 24. But in the context of what was happening there in those events. But as we look at these scriptures together this morning, we're going to discover 4 ways that we can keep Christmas going in our life every day. That for us, we don't have to pack away the decorations. We can experience the joy. We can experience the majesty and the wonder of Christ's birth and of what Christmas means to us every single day as we live it out. So what do we discover? The first principle that we can learn to have Christmas every day is to follow him through obedience. Verse 21 says that on the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. You say, but Dan, what's so important about that? What do we learn from that? Well, we learn that Mary and Joseph, from the time of Jesus' birth, saw how important it was that Jesus be taught and that he be responsible for, that they were responsible for seeing that he fulfilled the law in its entirety, even from birth. Following him in obedience means to live as he required, because Mary and Joseph made sure that Jesus obeyed every aspect of the law and fulfilled it perfectly, even from birth. And you say, well, why is that important? It's important because Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that Jesus was born under the law, and so he could fulfill every single part of the law for us in order that he could redeem us from the law. And the way that Jesus could be a perfect sacrifice was he kept the law in every detail for us because we couldn't. And so when he took his place, it being fulfilled through him, he paid the price to redeem us from it. But they did this, made sure that the law was fulfilled in every way by going through four specific rituals. One was his circumcision. And the law required on 8 days when a boy, Hebrew boy, was born, they were to be taken and circumcised. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 12, if you want to write that down, was when it was given. When the Lord said to Abraham, circumcise all male children born. And that circumcision was to show that they were identified as part of God's people. It showed that they were a part of the covenant people of God. And it showed that they were to be separate from or distinct from the nations around them. And by having Jesus circumcised, it identified him with every aspect of the law that he could fulfill it for us. And that he was instituting a new covenant that through him, we could become a part of God's people. And so it was important that he go through the ritual of circumcision. Also, it shows us that through Jesus as well, we become a distinct nation. We become different from those around us as we are connected to Christ. It also identified Jesus with every aspect that we go through. Because at 8 days old, when Jesus was circumcised, that circumcision was a painful ritual. And it even identified Jesus with pain from the very beginning, that showed that he left heaven and could identify with us, even in our pain. But they fulfilled what the law had required. Also during the time of circumcision, if we get this from Genesis 17, that when it was Abraham was circumcised and commanded by the Lord to carry about this covenant, it was then that God changed his name and said, you are no longer now Abram, but you are now Abraham. And so at the circumcision ceremony, when they were 8 days old, they would be given, a Hebrew boy would be given their name. And that's what Mary and Joseph did in accordance with the law. But they named him and fulfilled God's plan. They did what the law had required. And as we apply this to our life, as living following our Lord in obedience today, we celebrate and have that presence of Christmas and Christ in our life every day. And as we love him, we obey him, living as a way that he requires of us, seeking to live in a way that honors and glorifies him, not living for ourselves anymore, but living for the one who gave himself for us. Living for the one who came and left the glories of heaven to be our Savior and to be our Lord. Living as he requires, but also doing what he says. The last part of verse 21 says, not only did they circumcise him as the law required, but he was named Jesus, the name that had been given him before he had been conceived. Joseph didn't name him Jesus Joseph after himself, which is customary for some fathers to do. But he named him Jesus. Why? Because the angel had told them, give him the name Jesus, because that name was significant. The name Jesus is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament named Joshua, which means the same thing, the Lord saves or Savior. Because in that name, Jesus, it tells us that through him, salvation comes. But Mary and Joseph, in walking in obedience, did what the Lord had asked of them. Not only what the law required, but they did what he said. And they gave him the name that had been spoken to them through the angel. That is how we keep the joy of Christ alive in our heart. That is how we celebrate his coming to us every day. By walking in obedience. By keeping in step with him. By living as he requires and teaches us in his word. By doing what he tells us and guides us to do through his spirit and through his word speaking to us. Second thing, second way that we can learn and we can have Christmas every day in our life is to exalt him through worship. It just went, I just lost it. To exalt him through worship. And notice it says in verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. They took him to the temple. They were living in Bethlehem at this point. Jerusalem would have been about a 6-mile journey, not that far. But they took him to the temple and presented him to the Lord. But it was an act of worship. It was an act of surrender to the Lord. And as we follow after the Lord each day, we do it by exalting him through worship, by seeking him with a pure heart. Because it says in verse 22 that when they came to worship to the temple, when they went there, they went after their time of purification. Now, what that's talking about was whenever a woman delivered a baby, they were at that time ceremonially unclean. And because they had delivered a baby, they couldn't go into the temple. They couldn't go into the presence of God. They couldn't worship until that time, a certain time. In fact, God spelled it out. If it was a boy, thank you, hon. If it was a boy, they had to wait 40 days before they could go into the temple. But if it was a girl, they had to wait 80. So women, you had to wait twice as long if they had a girl baby born. But that's what it's talked about when this time of purification was over, when the time that their uncleanness had passed. Then they went to the temple to worship God. I'm taken from that as we come into the Lord's presence, we need to seek him and come into his presence with that pure heart. Come with that cleansing before us. And the scripture says that when we come into, blessed are the pure in heart, because the pure in heart will see God. As we come into the Lord's presence, it was important in the time of the Old Testament when they worshiped the Lord, before the priests could go into the temple or the tabernacle, they had the basin of water, and they had to wash their hands there. And that was symbolic of the cleansing before they could go into the presence of the Lord. And as we come in before God and come into his presence, we need to come with our hearts seeking after him and cleanse. And sometimes we go into worship and we may not go with the right attitude. And we may say, I didn't get much out of the Lord's presence today. And it may be because our heart wasn't where it needs to be. And so coming with that time of purification, with that having been cleansed, knowing a good practice before you come to worship every Sunday or before you open his word daily, say, Lord, is there anything in my heart that I need to confess? Is there anything in my heart that's not right between you and me that I need to deal with? And get that right before you can come into his presence, either personally or corporately. And in those times, God then is exalted. We then are drawn near him, seeking him with that pure heart, but also seeking him with the yielded heart. Because they brought Jesus there to have him consecrated, or to present him to the Lord, to yield him and give him back. Mary and Joseph knew that Jesus was not theirs. They knew that he was God's son. And they knew that his purpose and mission on earth was to bring about God's glory and salvation. And they knew that Jesus didn't belong to them. So they consecrated him and presented him back to the Lord. And we as well, when we come into worship, bring our heart yielded and consecrated back to the Lord, realizing that our life doesn't belong to us, it belongs to him. That as his Spirit speaks to us, as he directs us and gives us guidance, that we yield to him and yield to his will. That our prayer should be, Lord, your will be done in me. Your glory be made manifest in my life. Your glory, not mine. Your will, not mine. As we come before him. But also seeking him with a diligent heart. Because it says also in verse 22 that they brought him to present him to the Lord. Their desire was to present him to see that he would be taught and trained and grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. This is the physical side of Jesus, the human side of Jesus. Just as the wise men with a diligent heart left the land of the east and they set out following the star because they knew that that star was leading them to a king. And their heart, their desire was to find that king so that they could worship him and bow before him. And with diligence they set out and they were determined to worship and to know Christ better. Do you have a heart that diligently seeks after the Lord? That you desire to spend time with him? That you desire to spend time in his word? You desire to spend time and worship him? You want to be with God. You want to hang out with him. And it's having, cultivating that kind of desire within our heart that enables us to experience the joy of Christmas all year long. As we worship him with that heart of purity, that heart of yieldedness, and that heart that diligently seeks him. But we also can learn to have Christmas every, we can experience Christmas every day when we serve him through dedication. Verse 23 says that as it was written, they took him to present him to the Lord, and as it's written in the law of the Lord, that every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. This is getting back to another ritual that they performed, making sure that Jesus fulfilled the law in every way. And this is based on Exodus chapter 13, verses 11 to 16. You can write those verses down. Exodus 13, 11 to 16. And that's the practice, what this is talking about. A little bit of context. You remember when Israel was enslaved in Egypt, they had been in slavery for 450 years there. And God finally raised up Moses to lead them out and to bring them deliverance and to bring them salvation. But every time he would go to the Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," Pharaoh's answer was no. And Pharaoh, Moses would say, "God says, let my people go that they may come and worship me." And his answer was no. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And every single time, in order to get through to Pharaoh, God released plagues on Egypt. Every time he said no, God released a plague. As you know, there were 10 of them. But it was the 10th and final plague that finally got Moses to change his mind. Because in that 10th and final plague, become known as the night of Passover, on that night, God slayed the firstborn of Egypt. That plague was that every firstborn son of Egypt, of the Egyptians, would die. All the firstborn would die. And the only way that that would happen, they could be saved, was the blood of the Passover lamb would be slain, and the blood would be put on the side of the door at the top. And when God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And the Israelites, as you know, killed the Passover lamb, put the blood on their door, symbolic of the blood of Christ of the Lamb, that God passes over us and gives us life. But on that night, God visited, the death angel visited Egypt, and the firstborn of Egypt died. The final plague. In remembrance of that, God said to the Israelites, "Because I spared your firstborn, and because I did not take them that night in Egypt, all your firstborn belong to me. And you must consecrate them and give them to me because they're mine, because they belong to me, because I did not kill them. I saved the firstborn of Israel. And so they're mine. And he wanted the Israelites' parents to know that their children really belong to the Lord because he is the giver of life. So he established a ritual, a ceremony, that they had to consecrate or redeem or buy their children back from God, their firstborn. And that's what it's talking about here. That on that ritual, they had to take a lamb. And they had to take a lamb or pigeons if they couldn't afford a lamb. And they had to take it and kill it and present it back to the Lord. And that way, through that offering, they were buying their firstborn back from God. And that's what it's talking about here in the time of the consecration to the Lord of Jesus. Because he was the firstborn through Mary and Joseph, even though he wasn't Joseph's natural son. And so they were going through the ceremony of consecrating him, of buying him back from the Lord. And they took him to the temple and they dedicated him to the Lord, much as is same thing that Hannah had done. When Hannah had realized that Samuel was from God, and she dedicated him back to the Lord. And serving him, and they gave him back to the Lord for his service and use. Which involves consecrating. That's consecrating means setting something apart for the Lord for its use, his use, and redemption, that of buying back. And because we have been redeemed and bought back to the Lord by the blood of his son, Jesus, our lives have been consecrated to him. And so our lives should be lived out to God through that occasion, through serving him through each day of our life, giving it to the Lord for whatever we can. And dedicating our life to God's glory. Dedicating our life to his service and use in whatever way that can be, with whatever the gifts and talents he's given us. And we also celebrate Christmas every day by honoring him through sacrifice. And you say, well, what's the difference between dedication and sacrifice? Dedication is the giving of ourself for God's glory. Sacrifice is something it cost us. In verse 24, it says, and they were to offer a sacrifice in keeping what was said in the law of the Lord, which a pair of doves or two young pigeons in this case. That's what they brought. In that service of dedication or redemption, when they had to buy the firstborn back, they were required to bring a lamb. But if they couldn't afford a lamb, they could bring two turtle doves or two pigeons in its place. Luke records to us that Mary and Joseph brought a pair of doves because it tells us here that they were poor, that Mary and Joseph were a very poor family. They did not have much of an income. They could not afford to bring the lamb for the purification. They could not afford to bring the offering that God was required. And so they brought two doves in its place. In a sense, though, Mary and Joseph did bring the lamb because Jesus was the lamb, right? So as they brought Jesus to present him back, they really were bringing the lamb because he was the lamb that was slain for their purification, for their redemption as well as ours. But they gave of their poverty. And they gave back. And what's that mean to us as Jesus? Think of Jesus, because Jesus was willing to leave the riches and the glories of heaven and the majesty of all of heaven and lay that aside and to be born into a poor family of poverty. Scripture tells us that Jesus did not have a home of his own. He did not have a place to lay his head at night, the scripture says. And when he died, he had to be buried in a borrowed tomb. Didn't even own a place to bury for his burial. But Jesus willingly sacrificed that and sacrificed all that he had to come to earth for you and for me because he loved us so much. And from his example, we see as well that we honor the Lord through our sacrifice, through our giving of ourselves back to him. Over the centuries, the testimony has gone out over all the world of the coming of Jesus. And I want to share with you a hymn that was written that comes back from the 1930s that describes this so beautifully. This was given to us through the Gettys, who are hymn writers of today. But when Kim and I went to their concert, we were introduced to this hymn. And it said that over the years, as the story of Christ coming to earth was told, one of the places that really made an impact was in China in the 1930s. And in the last 100 years, the good news continued to grow there since the 1930s, when the message was first introduced there. But during the time of the 30s, a great persecution against Christians broke out, and many Christians were martyred, and many missionaries, including John and Betty Stamm, who were martyred there, and also Frank Houghton, who was president of China Inland Mission, now of OMS, wrote a Christmas carol called "Thou Who Was Rich Beyond All Splendor," which describes what Jesus did for us. Because he was so struck by the Lord who left the riches of all his world to step into our world with us and to identify with us. And so he wanted to strengthen the missionaries who were going through times of suffering. And he wrote the words of this hymn. And it says, "Thou who was rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake became poor. Thrones for a manger thou didst surrender. Sapphire paved courts for a stable floor. Thou who was rich beyond all splendor, and for love's sake became poor. Thou who was God beyond all praising, all for love's sake became man. Stooping so low, but sinners raising heavenward by thy eternal plan. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake became man. And thou who art love beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship thee. Emmanuel, within our dwelling, make us what you would have us be. Thou who art love beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship thee." That hymn so beautifully talks about the honor through sacrifice of what Jesus did for us and our life as well, as we give it back. Jesus says that if we want to be his disciple, we need to deny ourselves daily, take up his cross, and follow after him. That is how we celebrate Christmas every day, by living that life of sacrifice and surrender to him, yielding each day to him as he gives it to us, holding loosely on what he gives us, realizing that it belongs back to him, following him through obedience, exalting him through worship, serving him through dedication, and honoring him through sacrifice. Through those ways, we experience the joy of Christmas every day. And yes, you may not have packed away your decorations yet, and as you're getting ready to do that in the next maybe week or so, and as you're putting everything away and putting it back in the attic for another year, don't pack away the joy. Don't pack away what Christmas really means in our experience of Christ, who never leaves and forsakes us. But continue to walk after him in obedience, service, dedication, and sacrifice. Continue to seek him in worship through his word, through prayer, and through fellowship. And in that, the joy and the peace that he has come to give us on that first Christmas doesn't fade away, but sustains with us every single day through Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for coming to us and for the fact that we can enjoy your presence with us always, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that every day, Lord, as we seek to follow you in obedience, Lord, you are glorified and you are pleased, and that's how we have peace in your heart. And we have that inner peace knowing, Lord, that all is well between us and you. And Lord, as we seek your heart through worship, Lord, that joy that we have through worship and praise fills our heart overflowing. That is, when the wise men, the Magi, saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy because they knew that star led them to you. They knew that star was leading them to the King of kings that they could worship, through whom all worship and majesty was due. And so, Lord, may we approach your word, your presence, with great joy. That every daily as we open your word, it's a time of joy for us, because it's a time for us to meet with you, to hear from you, to be encouraged and nourished by your word. Then we come together to worship you weekly, that it's a time of joy for us, because we are in your presence, we are seeking you. And we get to worship and honor you, the King of kings of all. And Lord, may each day be lived in service and dedication to you, making the most of each time and redeeming the time, redeeming the opportunities that you give us, because the days are evil around us, and making the most of the days and the opportunities and time you give us to live for you, to bless others, to show your love and your grace to those in need. And Lord, to follow after you in sacrifice, honoring you, Lord, by denying ourselves and putting your will first. And seeking, Lord, to take your cross as an example and following you daily as our example. And so, Father, thank you for the joy of Christmas that lives in our heart and does not wane, because you never leave us there. And your presence abides now and forever. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.